Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
This is Love Sport.
Well, well, well. Kevin, can you please explain what that music is for me? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so this was the song that was chosen as the FA Cup final song for 1988.
I knew that's what you were going to say. Is that what it was? Crikey, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it was a great result and you won the final, yeah, but that's not an inspiring song. That's not going to rally the troops.
No, I think the word dirge does actually sum it up perfectly. However, I don't know... I was asked to write a song when we got to the... I think I've mentioned this before. 1997, we were in two semi-finals of the FA Cup and the League Cup at the same time. I was commissioned to write a song that would cover the eventuality, of course, of us getting to one of those finals. Hence, Smells Like Team Spirit was born. Thank you very much. We lost both. And I felt bad, really. Kind of half responsible for losing. The fact that we played badly in both semi-finals was completely arbitrary. And Joe Kinnear blamed me publicly. Whoever wrote that bloody song is what he said. And that was my fault.
Okay. But, right, well, that's a good start to the show.
I think we start on a downbeat moment and lift up.
Well, do you know what? We started the Watford show on a downbeat moment because they obviously lost to Brighton yesterday in terrible fashion at Vicarage Road. This is, of course, to those listening, the AFC Wimbledon fan show with the guys from the 9 Years podcast, Kevin Boris and Hannah Kitcher. And me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 9 p.m. this evening. After that, it's going to be the Manchester United fan show. They will be in great mood, of course, after their 4-0 victory over Chelsea.
Can we leave
today
before they get here?
There's a Manchester United fan show now.
There is a Manchester United fan show on Love Sport Radio.
Well, of course, it's...
Here we go, on. I know what you're going to say, go on.
We're based in London, aren't we?
Yeah. Don't laugh at him, Hannah. Crikey. chaps, how are we doing? Of course, the result wasn't favourable yesterday. Took the lead at Fleetwood. They obviously got off to a great start on the opening day. 3-1 victory. How are you feeling?
Well, can I start because I was there?
Yeah.
I'm not belittling the fact that you weren't because you had something else to do. Do you know what?
No, I'm talking about Fleetwood's opening game against Peterborough.
Sorry, I didn't listen.
The big game. Anyway, so I was there yesterday. It was the wettest game I've been to for a long time. I think the last wet game I've been to of that magnitude was actually Fleetwood at home 18 months ago, which should have been abandoned. This was just like playing in the middle of the sea. It was just the rain was incredible. The wind was incredible. They adapted it better than we did. But honestly, I don't feel too bad. I thought we played okay for about half an hour of the first game against Rotherham. Across the two halves, we played okay from, say, 35th minute to 65th. Yesterday, we played okay for probably 50 across the game in various bits, not in one chunk. Mm-hmm. In various parts, we played okay for about 50 minutes. However, Fleetwood played better than us in the other 40 minutes, and played better than we did in our 50. That's the problem. What we've got to rectify is the fact that we're not playing well enough for long enough.
Well, this is what Wally said in his post-match interview.
Oh, did he? I've genuinely not seen that. Did he?
That, like, we need to knit the two halves together.
Oh, nice.
So in the first game of the season, we had a great second half.
Yeah.
This was a great first half. Just need to make 90 minutes work.
I've genuinely not read that. Thank you. Thank you for filling me in and making me feel bad that I've actually cribbed it, but I didn't see that. But we did okay. We played okay. We should have been two ahead. And then we missed a really good chance at 1-1 to make it 2-1 to us, and they went out the other end and scored. Typical. But they adapt to the conditions better. They've spent a lot more money than we have. They've got more money than we have. Their player budget is huge. They've got their subs bench. They've got a lot of experienced players. We've got, you know, kids and players from the Welsh League on our bench, which is fine, but it's hard to compete. So we did pre-season predictions a couple of weeks ago. I had Rotherham 4th, Fleetwood 9th. And I'm not going to change my mind on either of them. I think Fleetwood were pretty decent. Rotherham were better. Fleetwood are okay. I had Ashford finishing 20th in my predictions. Probably not going to change that either.
Okay, well, you do mention the conditions there, Kevin.
Hard not to.
It is hard not to, but Wally Downs, in his typically unflinching style, wasn't having that. He was not having it at all. He said the second goal you put down to the weather circumstances, but yep. I wasn't too happy with the way it panned out for the defending. We were not going with runners or getting the challenges in. He also said, look, you're going to get these conditions. You have to adapt to them. That is very true. You have to be man enough to play the conditions, a woman enough, if you're in the women's game, of course. We played in similar conditions at Southend and scored a goal to get a win, and we got a draw in a windy game at Shrewsbury. You can't come here and complain if you get done due to the elements. You can't have it both ways, Kevin.
No, he's right. I mean, it was windy and it was wet and it was cold, but it wasn't like spots of sunshine on the 11 Fleetwood players. It was the same for them. Mm. They adapted to it, and it's not... someone said, oh, they're used to this kind of weather, but it's Britain. It's not... the Fleetwood doesn't have completely different weather to Wimbledon, let's be fair. But it was... they just adapted better. But if you look at it, they've probably got more experienced players than we have, and that counts for something. But I thought we did okay. The argument we had yesterday was the team selection. Obviously, Will Nightingale didn't play yesterday. Wasn't in the squad. Was injured in training. Apparently, was been feeling
well. He said
a calf.
He said Will's going to have a scan on Monday.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem too concerned though.
He doesn't. No, I know. I said Stuart Douglas wasn't too concerned about Will's injury, but we miss him from the back. He played midfield against Rotherham. I think I love Will Nightingale. Great player. Real good club man. I just don't think he's got quick enough feet to play in midfield. Maybe that's being a bit harsh on him. We miss him from the back. His organisational skills are great. If you look at a video of Will Nightingale in the course of a match, he does so much pointing. I know a lot of players point pointlessly, but he does a lot of good pointing. He's very good at getting his defensive colleagues in good positions. We miss that.
Apparently he's good mates with Zanev as well. After he made a massive, like a cracking save on the first game, he went over him and was like, just like G'd him up and was like, yes, go.
That save was one of the saves of the season after 8 minutes. Brilliant save.
Mm. Are you suggesting pointing is an attribute, by the way?
Oh, I think it is. Because it's massively underrated.
It doesn't happen so much in the modern game, does it? I mean, you remember in yesteryear and the likes of, I don't know, Mark Hughes, for example, was always known for his volleying. You talk about Mark Hughes being a great volleyer of the ball. That's when players had specific traits. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, players are so all-encompassing. Yeah. They've got all this ability that nothing really stands out too much.
No, you're right.
Paul Merson always great with the outside of his foot. But you're saying that Will Nightingale, is a great pointer.
Yes, he is.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's a captain, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. He's captain. And as I said, the fact that he's a fan as well, and he's just a proper club person. And he's my first choice defensive position. If you're going to play five at the back, he's in the middle. I just don't think he's got quick enough feet to play midfield. So we missed him from the defence. Yes, he wasn't in the squad at all. Mitch Pinnock came in and he did a decent job. I thought Mitch was okay. But the problem he had yesterday was people were very confused as to the way we were playing, because we don't have a target man now, because our target man's gone to Grimsby. Joe Piggott does not play like a target man. He's 6'2", but he's not a big player in the way he plays. And Kwesi Appiah came in for Michael Falivi. So Falivi got on loan from Watford for the season. Sorry, Nick, mentioning Watford again. And I was really pleased he came back. But to drop him after one game and play Kwesi was quite a strange thing. Kwesi, everyone knows my opinions on Kwesi as a player, definitely there. But I'm not sure he kind of gets lost in games and he drifts in and out. First half, great. Scored a good goal. Had a goal disallowed. Made a great chance for Paul Cullen-Bye. Should have been the other way around. Cullen-Bye makes the chance. Kwesi probably finishes it.
Can we discuss the chance, by the way? Because brilliant work from Cullen-Bye, right? He dispossessed the man in the middle of the park. Lovely one, too.
Yep.
And then, awful.
He jigsawed it, as in he fell apart in the box.
Yeah. He tried to open his body up and went with his side foot. He should have just put his laces through it.
Cullen-Bye is a man mountain, that boy. Mm. And he would have hammered it in the back of the net. Other way round, a striker would have scored that goal. I mean, it's just one of those things. It fell to the wrong player. So first half, Kwesi was good. Second half, just wasn't really there. He actually made two good defensive headers as well. And he got booked for arguing. That's also fine. I've got no problem with someone. The ref tried to pull him over to, like, stop him for speeding. He tried to pull in towards him to talk to him, and Kwesi wouldn't come towards him, just walked off. Fine. Attitude, no problem with that. He made an awful tackle for a free kick. Again, no problem. He's fouled. He's trying to do something to defend the team. A couple of good defensive headers. He got a really good header and they had a free kick. I think probably that free kick he gave away. He flicked it away at the near post. He did okay, but second half, he disappears. And I think that's the problem people had. But if you're going to play Falivi, you can't play Falivi and Kwesi and Joe Piggott. I mean, the fact we kept Joe Piggott during the transfer window, or the championship transfer window, was a definite plus. It's like having a new signing. We've got 2.5 weeks to go before the transfer deadline's up. And my fear is, if Joe Piggott does go elsewhere, it'll be to another championship, a League One side. And I think that will possibly be hugely disappointing.
It was quite indicative that he was captain as well. And the rationale for that from Wally Downs, that he's like got that kind of...
That's an asset.
Yeah.
So what's your take on the performance? And you're bobbing up and down in your chair there. I feel like you're itching to
no,
say
no,
something.
No. It's more.
I talk too much.
It's more that I've seen that Gary Fletcher has wanted to be read out, his tweet to be read out. He's tweeted...
Oh, please. Sorry, Gary, I apologise for talking over your tweet.
Hi, guys, and Hannah. Opinions on Pinnock, please. For me, he hasn't been anywhere near what he showed pre-season last year. Does he offer anything for us? And I think that's true. Pre-season last year, I was like super impressed with Pinnock.
Yeah.
And I've been frustrated that he hasn't played more.
He doesn't quite
fit into the squad.
He doesn't. That's exactly it. He's ostensibly, when he was in the National League, was a left winger. And we don't play with wingers. So he played on the left side of midfield. He was decent yesterday. That's the best Mitch Pinnock performance I've seen since probably September, October last year. I think the issue with Mitch Pinnock is, as people have mentioned before, he's not quite as good as he thinks he is. And that's difficult. Where Will Nightingale and Anthony Harter are probably better than they think they are. I just think Mitch Pinnock has got this. I've never met him. If you're listening, I apologise. This may be a character assassination. I apologise, but he just has this thing about him that it's the hair and the head and the sweatbands. No one wears
that
sweatbands.
That is judgy.
Anymore.
That is judgy.
It is judgy. I'm judging a book by the cover. His sweatbands and the whole. He's very kind of posy in the way he plays. Everything's very kind of.
I can understand that, though, Kevin. I get that. I get that from a footballer's perspective now, especially in this day and age where footballers aren't just footballers, they are becoming brands. And I think when you have the hair and you have the sweatbands and you just do something that's slightly different, that just sets you apart from the rest, even if you're not the best player, you often find that those who aren't the best players do it. Rajan Iyengalan, I'm going to point out here, who plays in Serie A. Personally, don't think he's one of the best midfielders in the world, but he's played at the highest level, both for club and country, because he stands out. People notice him. Paul Pogba's changing his hair every week. Yes, he is regarded as one of the top midfielders in the world, but he's changing his hair all the time, and people think of Paul Pogba, the brand, not just the footballer.
That's true. I think the Mitch Pinnock, the brand, does need a marketing director.
he's on social media a lot.
Is he?
Yeah. And like, I think it makes sense, doesn't it? Because the career isn't that long. You might as well... Think ahead and see where you can get, but
even more so in the lower leagues, it makes sense. And whenever I've come across footballers from League One, League Two, Championship, even, you get into them and say, look, start being more active on certain levels of your life, whether it's business away, whether it's a study, whether it is social media, whether you want to go down that route, but start being more active. Sometimes be a bit controversial, be a bit funny, post-match interviews, say something a bit different.
Yeah.
Yep. And then people remember you and think of you, oh, that's the guy who does really funny post-match interviews. All of a sudden, everybody's watching your post-match interview and you build a brand for yourself.
Yeah, join a band, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got no problem with him at all. And his image is a bit difficult. But yeah, he did okay yesterday. I know Gary's point, because he did come with a bit of a reputation for being a really top quality non-league player. I have friends who support non-league teams. Ebbsfleet particularly, and then he was one of those. When we signed him, it was like, oh, you've got a good player there. He's definitely League One, at least League One, just for some reason take him to the 25, 26 years old to get there. Not sure yet.
Okay, well, we're going to discuss some more transfers after this, but just very quickly, Nick Zanev not at fault, I don't think, for that second goal. I think the first goal was a beautifully worked move. Yep. Intricate passing, lovely goal from Fleetwood. The second goal, listen, we can talk about the conditions. I don't think it's Nick Zanis' fault. I mean, I think it was an incredibly difficult ball to catch in the air when it's moving and swirling around like that. In terms of his performance as a whole, happy?
Yeah, I think he's fine. We were talking before we came on. I think my personal preference is he is just ahead of Nathan Trott in a lot of aspects. To me, yeah. I mean, people may be laughing at this. I just think...
Because you bought Nathan Trott in to be the number one, presumably.
Oh, yeah, we have. And he's injured. But I Zanev is bigger and stronger. I just think he's a bit more imposing. As a goalkeeper, I think you want to impose yourself on your own defence as well as the attack. We've been absolutely spoiled. I mean, I've bored people to tears by saying how good I think Aaron Ramsdale will be. And now, of course, yesterday he played.
He did.
He started for Bournemouth.
Yep.
Our last two goalkeepers, Aaron Ramsdale starts for Bournemouth in a Premiership game, does really well. George Long is now starting for a top-quality Championship team in Hull. So, of course, James Shea was our goalkeeper, also now obviously on the bench for Luton. These are decent goalkeepers. We've been spoiled. I just think Nick Zanev is a little bit ahead of Nathan Trott in the development. Nathan Trott does look the appearance of a left-winger who's gone in goal due to an injury. And that's not his fault. He's a skinny guy. I'm kind of not a skinny guy. And I just think he just doesn't impose himself on his own defence enough, particularly. But, yeah, Zanev did that. Yesterday he went for a ball that would have normally been there in normal conditions, but that wind just took it over his head.
Okay, well, Nathan Trott, like I said, is a new signing. We're going to be talking about more of those after this.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is Love Sport.
This is Love Sport. I am Matt Beadle, and I don't know whether I should be Jake Watson. And Jake, if you're listening, the guys have just sort of compared me to you in the break.
No.
It's a little bit undermining, I'm not going to lie to you. So we'll just crack on. We'll brush right
only
past
in the
guys.
Beard stakes.
No, Jake, obviously a fantastic bloke and a top, top presenter. Did this show brilliantly for however long he did this show, of course. Transfers, guys. Mm. Recaps of the ins and outs so far. Are you happy with who's come in? Obviously, we've got a few weeks left of the window.
Yeah.
Loan deals can be made. New players can come in. Do you think Wally Downs is going to be active?
I know this is supposed to be a 30-minute section, but I'm going to say no. I don't think he is. I think he's happy.
Yeah.
I
are you happy?
Not 100%. I think we are a bit short. But if you look at the attacking options we've got, he thinks we have five. So obviously Joe Piggott and Michael Falivi or Kwesi Appiah as your first choice. That's three. Adam Roscoe on the bench yesterday, who we signed from Cardiff Metropolitan University. And of course we've got Tommy Wood, who possibly might go out on loan. Again, it's that kind of curate's egg thing. I think Tommy Wood is slightly ahead of Adam Roscoe. I'm not trying to be. I do actually prefer Foo Fighters to Nirvana, and I realise people think I'm crazy, but in the same way, I just prefer Tommy Wood and his ability to score goals over Adam Roscoe's. And it's just a personal thing. I don't know where we're going to strengthen, but I think we should. But I don't know where it's going to be. We don't have, in my opinion, we don't have a creative midfield player. We've got a number of defensive midfield players who can all fit around and they can all move around. And Anthony Hartigan's now playing further forward. Callum Riley played in the middle yesterday. Mitch Pinnock on the left, Hartigan on the right. Last week, Oswald Nightingale played in the middle of the three. It was kind of odd. We had two defensive midfield players last week and one in front, I think. I may be wrong. I don't know where we're going to strengthen. I would like to see a couple of other players come in, but I personally don't think it's going to happen.
Hannah?
I'm just going to refer to Twitter again, just briefly, just on your point about midfield, and unfairly mention Gareth again, that Wagstaff in the middle of the park for me, for his energy, he minds the rest, blah, blah, blah. He's annoying in the face, something that you've said before.
Yeah, we don't have that kind of player. Every team we play has one player that drives me nuts. It's people like Nicky Law and that kind of player who are Exeter. One of those players is a really good player, but he's always on at the referee. The only player we've got who does that is Scott Wagstaff, and he doesn't appear to be in favour. Obviously, Anthony Wordsworth is slightly more creative. He's currently injured. It's funny. You don't want your team to be unpleasant and get bookings for dissent, but at the same time, you don't want them to be walked all over and to accept things with a shrug. I think you want your team to look like they care as much as you do.
There's been talks about people missing Bartram recently, just simply for his energy and like, and also, yeah. I would say Jake Reeves for getting in the best face and being a bit.
Yeah, but we are a bit one-paced in that. We're not a particularly fast team. You look at the last two games, we've had three breakaways, where the furthest man forward has been Anthony Hartigan, who I'm a big fan of Anthony's work, but I know his dad listens to the show. So, David, please don't take this any way as an insult. Anthony's not particularly quick.
You always do a disclaimer, Kevin.
I do.
Before you I'm
a journalist.
Journalists don't care what they say, do they?
I do. I've never been sued in 30 years.
I mean, you don't want to upset anybody, but you also want to be forthright in your opinions.
Well, I think Anthony Hartigan doesn't have an awful lot of natural pace.
Okay.
Okay. But he's got a lot of unnatural ability. And then three times in the last two games, he's been clean through and hasn't had the pace to get away from the defender. That's just a fact. That's not being an insult to the guy. But other way round, if that'd be Mitch Pinnock or being Kwesi Appiah coming through or Nestor Guinness Walker, who has got pace, he probably got more chances to score. Anthony's getting through and then the defender's on him and he's thinking, I'm never going to outpace this guy, and he turns and passes back. So he keeps possession of the ball, but he's just not particularly fast. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are missing a creative player and we're missing pace. If we could find a creative, fast player, we'd only have to get one in. But there's no one to go out. And I think that's the budget. We all know about how much money we've not got and how much money the ground is costing us and any kind of spare cash is down the back of a sofa somewhere, and we ain't got it.
Do you, your opinions, have you expressed them on Kwesi?
Oh.
What do you think Wally's opinions on Kwesi are as well? He started him on Saturday.
He did. Kwesi was not particularly impressive in pre-season. But then again, I've not found Kwesi that impressive anyway. He is a championship footballer.
I genuinely think,
ability-wise, he's a championship player. In his head, he's a championship player.
Has he played that many championship games, though?
He's played about 14 for Reading.
Well, interestingly, Max, our producer, is a big Crystal Palace fan.
Is he?
Yeah, and he's letting us know that Kwesi always looks all right at Palace. He came from non-league and only came on as a sub, but always looked pretty decent.
But did he have enough experience in championship?
No, he's not got enough. I just think that there are certain times, if you remember that Fleetwood away in the Cup last season, where Kwesi was the best player on the pitch by a mile. Doesn't happen often enough. He was fantastic against West Ham. He was great against Fleetwood. And hardly played after that. He's got an unfortunate injury record. And that's not his fault. You're either injured a lot or you're not. Or it's a mental issue with him, which is not his fault either. But sometimes, yesterday...
Yeah, maybe post-injury, it's just like...
Yeah.
It's a different person.
But a few times yesterday when he could have closed his defender down and didn't. And just kind of wandered towards him. That's what drives people nuts. Close the guy down, and then I think Kwesi's got it in him. I just think it's someone needs to get it out of him.
You'd hope so. I mean, you look at it, see his career. He spent a lot of time out on loan. What do you think, listeners? Join the discussion 0208 70 20 558 or on the socials, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We have had a message in from Jimmy Knight, who has said that we need to strengthen real lack of quality at the moment. So he's under no illusions that players need to come in. And you did start, Kevin, by saying you didn't want players in. And you kind of ended it saying, well, actually, we need one or two.
It's not that I don't want players in. I'm being realistic. I'm thinking, who are we going to get in the next 2 weeks? And we have to get players out to get players in, surely. Mm. We don't have the money to pay £5,000 or £6,000 a week to players that are going to make a massive difference to us. Our kids did great in a lot of the friendlies. They look really good quality, but you can't test them against Rotherham and Fleetwood. Can you test them in cup games? Can you test them in the Checkatrade Trophy? Or, sorry, the Leasing.com Trophy. I apologise. Leasing.com.
It's gone through so many guises, hasn't it, in that trophy?
They've managed to find a sponsor less glamorous than Checkatrade. That, I think, that if that was the goal... Right, go get a new sponsor. Get someone less glamorous and check it out. Oh, I've got leasing.com.
Nobody wants to fund that cup.
No, I know.
But you know what? It's a trophy that I always said when I was working at Wycombe Wanderers, I always said it was a trophy that they should go all out to win, because ultimately that's a trip to Wembley. And what do you want as fans? Regardless of where you are, you want those trips out. A trip out at Wembley. You want silverware, you want to walk down Wembley Way, you want to stand by the arch, you want to go to Wembley because you want that as fans.
Yeah.
You're laughing at me, Anna. Why are you laughing at me?
Oh, I'm just
because you're thinking of a half and half scarf, aren't you?
You're not feeling it.
No, just because there are a lot of Wembley games now, aren't there?
There are, but okay. No. So when was the last time AFC Wimbledon played at Wembley?
Against Portsmouth? Spurs? That's obviously, that's a different special case, but...
Yeah. Spurs. That becomes didn't earn that, did we?
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly. Do you know what I mean? I just think there's something different, and I hated that season when Spurs were playing at Wembley, or the season and a bit that Spurs were playing at Wembley, because I do believe it's the pinnacle of your career to get to Wembley, regardless of what level that you're at. I think getting to Wembley, playing at Wembley, should be something that makes you think I've really reached a height here. And whether it's the EFL Trophy, that's still the best that you can get in that particular.
Yeah, I don't like the fact the FA Cup semi-finals.
Yeah, that's what
terrible.
I was going to say as well.
Ridiculous.
You could have one at Tottenham now and one at Man United. Perfect. But I think Wembley's lost its appeal. I think because there are so many games there. But I think you look at the Checkatrade. Sorry, the leasing. Oh God, the EFL Trophy. Let's call it
that's
the EFL
much
trophy.
Easier. Yes,
the EFL Trophy. Portsmouth Sunderland last season was what, a crowd of 79,000.
Mm-hmm.
So people do care about it.
Of course you do.
And it's a big thing. It's not when whoever scored the winning goal didn't just kind of go, oh, yeah, I've scored the winning goal. They were, you know, they were mobbed. There's a penalty, wasn't it? They're mobbed by their teammates. And the players around the pitch, the management around the pitch, they look really, really excited to have done it. It does mean something, but we played Chelsea in the second round last year. That was one of the strangest games I've ever been to. It was our first team against Chelsea's under-21s.
Well, this is where it's got slightly blurred, hasn't it? And actually, it's worked out well so far that none of those under-23 outlets have actually made it have made it to the final yet.
Yeah.
And we saw a great final between Sunderland and Portsmouth last season. And listen, silverware breeds success. Actually, there's an argument against that because Sunderland then defeated Portsmouth in the semi-finals of the playoffs and then got to the finals, and Portsmouth went a bit backwards after winning the EFL Trophy. However, I think as a fan... You want silverware first. In my opinion, you want... Mm-hmm. Max is saying, obviously, Palace always used to get stick for winning the LDV Vans Trophy. Yes, it's unglamorous.
Did they not win this when it was the Simod Cup?
The Simod Cup as well, yeah, of course.
Cup.
Many moons ago. I'm not sure Max will remember that one.
He looks far too young. But Palace, I think it's 1989 Simod Cup. They beat Everton, like 3 or 4-1 at Wembley.
Zenith Data Systems. Brilliant tournaments, though. Zenith Data Systems. Four members was there for a bit. Obviously, a lot of this was to do with the fact that
Sherpa Van Trophy.
Sherpa Van. Yeah.
I wish it was still the Johnson Paint.
That was when you, before your time, and because it was 81-82 was the first time they had this extra cup. It was called the Group Cup. We did very well in that. Got to the final, lost to Grimsby, and the final was played at the one of the team's home grounds. You tossed a coin. We got Grimsby. And they won the toss, and it's played at their ground. You don't play a final at the particular. Anyway,
happen in the UEFA Cup as well. Used to have finals. Used to be two-legged affairs, so you'd play at each other's.
This was one leg, though.
We are going slightly away from the knot. And before we go, because we're going to discuss those other players at a certain team in Milton Keynes, North Buckinghamshire, in a moment. But Jimmy Knight, who posed that question about needing to bring more players. He said, with 3-4 quality players short, what's happened to the money for Civic? Surely the wages from Trotter, Soares, Hansen and Day can be utilised. If anything, the squad this year is worse than last.
I have actually gone on record of saying I think our starting 11 is about the same as last season, but our squad is slightly weaker, so I'm edging towards nodding at Jimmy. I think I don't disagree with him.
Okay. Jimmy, you're listening, but Kevin Boras is virtually nodding his head right at the screen.
Yes, doesn't make great radio, nodding. Sorry, Jimmy, I think you're right. I don't know what we're going to do about it. are we going to get these players in? Who are these players we can get in? I mean, you'd have a fantasy team.
But did Dodgy play even that much last season? And was he in it? Was he in the squad in the same way that we've got a best squad now? We've got a squad that is a lot more, maybe not in terms of quality, but in terms of cohesion.
Yeah,
100%.
I think the squad are, they're probably all on one WhatsApp group, and not four. And now, someone said that was quite important the other day, and I thought, well, maybe it is. But they're all. It's a bit more togetherness now.
Mm-hmm. It's not so cliquey.
It's less cliquey. There's no clique. There's no. Obviously, it's difficult in the higher leagues. You've got foreign players. You've got Newcastle at one point. Is it nine French players? Mm-hmm. And they're bound to group together. We don't have that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Famous clique, of course, in the England squad many years ago between Chelsea and United and Liverpool, all sitting in different areas of the coach. Anyway, we'll touch a bit more on Twitter. We'll thank you for the interaction. We've got plenty of stuff coming in. After this, we're going to speak about the Carabao Cup.
This is Love Sport.
This is Love Sport Radio. I'm Matt Beadle with the guys from the 9 Years podcast, Kevin Boris and Hannah Kitcher, talking all things AFC Wimbledon. Now, I'm going to do a Kevin Boris-style disclaimer here and say that I asked the guys for advice because in my history of working within the Football League, I've always known it to not be... Well, I've always known that you're not allowed to really mention a certain club when speaking to AFC Wimbledon fans. Completely nondescript, you don't talk about them. Obviously, there was that period where they weren't even recognised in the club programme. I believe AFL rules have stated that you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So they do have to be mentioned. And I'm going to mention them because in the Carabao Cup next week, guys, you are playing MK Dons. Okay? MK Dons.
Yes, yeah.
That's who you're playing.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, just with regards to the fact that you are playing MK Dons, you want
you
to introduce...
You have to say it so many times, don't you?
I just like really need to get it out.
Yeah.
You two, the two guests today, also have different histories when it comes to this, because you started going in 1977.
Yep.
Your first game, Hannah, I believe, was in 2016. So this resentment towards the club differs between the two of you? Is that fair to say? Do you want to just elaborate on that?
You go first.
Well, we were talking about this before, and like, what are our opinions on it? And I do feel like I obviously haven't been there through the whole thing, and I know a lot of people who have very polar opposite opinions on it. Like some people who refuse to go to Stadium MK. There are people that will go and say, regardless, I'm going to get behind the boys. I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to let this get in the way of me seeing a game of football, and. I personally, like before, like getting into Wimbledon, would have referred to MK Dons, but now, sort of out of respect, I wasn't there through that whole history, but out of respect, I don't say it because I know it's sensitive. But I kind of do also feel like a little bit, that my lack of opinion is kind of frustrating. On the whole issue, is kind of frustrating. I wish I was a bit more fervently one way or the other because I know a lot of people that are.
I think it's almost a bit refreshing. I'm sure there's some people that will argue against you
a lot
because you are a new fan. So some people go, I don't know what you're talking about. You're definitely going to get people saying that. But I also think it's quite refreshing because I think in some senses it can bog the club down, this hatred of another club. It's so fierce sometimes. Obviously, you get rivalries in football. We know that. But this one is so ferocious. For more than just being a rival, there's so much more to it. And I understand the history of the club and I understand it's a really sensitive issue. And I'm not going to elaborate too much because I'm not a Wimbledon fan, so I don't know too much. I know plenty of it, but I'm not entirely understandable of how people feel, of what the perception is in the ground. But Gary Jordan has tweeted us and he said, look, the cup game this week, should the majority be attending and getting behind the team in what is a key game and winnable, or stay away because it's them?
There.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, people have really, like, there are lots of people that will fall down on one side or the other. Yeah. I'm going. Yeah. I don't know.
I know. It does polarise people for a bit. I'm going. I've been to every time we played them at home. I've only been once away. Couldn't face it before. When we played them away, season before last, the season they went down.
So when you say couldn't face it...
I couldn't face going to an away game, no. And then one day I just decided, no, I'm going to go. Hmm. I think was that the fifth time we played them away? We played them in every cup. in a space of 2 years. And I couldn't face going. Went to first couple of league games. Couldn't. I just didn't want to go. And then we played him in the January 2018. And about a week before the game, I thought, no, I'm going to go. And it's kind of like exorcising a demon. I wanted to go. And I got there and I hated the ground. And then there was a bit of an incident with some of their fans attacking us while we were making our Facebook Live program. And just thought, no, they mean nothing. It's just a bunch of kids and this is unpleasant. And it was just an unpleasant atmosphere. I didn't feel like I wanted to be there. It was a 0-0 draw. It was a terrible game of football. Didn't care. And I want to care about the match. And I just thought I probably won't go to the away game again. But I've been through this since for 17, 18 years. What did it for me was the first season in League One, middle of October, we won away at Oxford on a Sunday and we went above them in the league. And that one day, for me, made them irrelevant because you think, well, all the effort and all the money they've spent on building up nice ground and all the money they've spent on developing players and buying them or whatever was irrelevant because our pub team from Kingston, as they like to call us, was above them in the league. And that made them irrelevant from their point, from my point.
From that point on, regardless what happens now.
We've been above them, and that was great.
Really,
that did it for me. I wasn't really hatred. My friends who don't like football find the whole thing a bit bizarre because I'm quite pleasant, really. And Hannah's not shaking her head. I'm a decent person. I think I'm quite pleasant. I'm not a violent person, but anything to do with that club just drives me nuts. I've not been to a conference because it was held at that ground, and I've been offered the chance to speak at a conference at that ground as the main speaker. And then the person who organised the conference said, oh, I've just realised where it is. Don't worry, we'll get someone else. So,
wow.
So, and they didn't invite. They withdrew the invitation, knowing I probably wouldn't go anyway.
Well, I think what you said when you were explaining everything there in the sense that it was a bunch of kids sometimes, and that's often what part of this argument has become, just a bunch of kids wanting to jump on a bandwagon, not really knowing what they're arguing about, and that ruins the atmosphere within the club. I'd love to know, and you don't often hear this from MK Dons themselves. I know you're saying that you're just a pub team from Kingston, but do you think the hatred is as strong with the guys from Milton Keynes as it is the other way around?
Do they have fans?
Well, actually, if you looked at the attendance this weekend, absolutely not. It was very sparse
was
in that stadium, wasn't it? I don't know the actual attendance, but when you saw the figures or the pictures, sorry,
it was empty, wasn't it?
Sparsely populated. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know any MK Dons fans, and I've said their name again. I've never met them. It's odd. The first time we played them at home in the league, and then they had some coaches turn up, and the police kettled us, and they made us stand in this poor bloke's garden while these fans got off the coach. And you look at them and just think they looked absolutely petrified that they were going to be sort of like herded through some park. You just think they're just normal people. And I don't have the issue particularly with the 16 and 17-year-olds and 20-year-olds who've not got interest in the history. They are from that town. They support their local team. Okay, it's the people that came from Wimbledon, I think, and went to that town. And then fans, people, I do know people who supported Luton and supported Spurs and supported Arsenal, but lived in Buckinghamshire, then started going because there was now a team in at the point of the Championship. We never went when there was Milton Keynes City. So Milton Keynes City played in the Midland Spartan League, and they got shut down mid-season. Their average attendance was three people. So if those three people, where do they go? So the people who live in that area but go to Tottenham and go to Coventry and go to Arsenal because it's not that far away, why didn't you go to your team when you had a team in Milton Keynes? They were called Milton Keynes City.
It's because, like you said, because Stadium MK is a soulless place. It's just like full of, it's like a dystopian future of football. It's just black slate everywhere.
Yeah, but you've been there with another club, haven't you?
Yeah.
Not Southampton, but you went there with QPR. Yeah. I'm taking your job now, Matt. So
please,
Kevin. So when you went there as a fan of you went there with another club.
Yeah.
What was it like being a QPR with the QPR fans at that ground? Did they find
that's
it
what I'm saying. It was the dystopian future of football. Mm. I hated it, and like it was black padded seats, lovely loads of leg room. You know, compared to Loftus Road, you're just like crammed in.
Yeah.
But there was no atmosphere. It was all like everything was sponsored everywhere. All the time, it felt very American, and very much like it's like a bowl in the middle of nowhere, and it's horrible. No, I didn't like it.
Well, Matt Lowndes is going. He's come on Twitter. I'm going on Tuesday, and we've got a full set of flags to hang up. Always attend the home games. Away is different.
Yeah,
like you, Kevin. Yeah. I've been, but it was what it was. Incredibly unpleasant.
Yeah, I'm with Matt on that. I think I would never tell anyone to do to not do something or to do something. If you want to go to that game, go to it. If you don't want to go to it, I understand. So I go with five people, and normally three of us go to the home games, two of them don't. And then sometimes, I think of the five of us, two of the five of us have never been to that ground and will not go. But we don't discuss it. We don't argue about it. That's their point of view. They're never going to go. I've been. One of the others, my friend Richard, has been to every home game and every away game there because he said, if I don't go to a match, it's because I can't make it or I can't afford it or I just choose not to go. I'm not going because of that reason. And so everyone's got their own opinions, and it's not wrong. I don't think anyone should be criticised for going to that game or for not going to a game. It's your opinion. It's your choice.
It's an incredibly principled thing as well, isn't it? Because, as we know, there are so many football fans that like to tick off grounds. They like to tick off pubs. They like to tick off pies that they've had at certain grounds. Mm-hmm. You know, remember the days of the Football Fans Guide when you flick through them. Obviously, there's now an app and a website and a great community. So I guess some fans, some AFC Wimbledon fans, would sacrifice that, would sacrifice a little hole in that number of ticks that they've got because they just don't want to go.
Yeah, there are. I know people who support other clubs, not our club, who have been to the 91. Yeah. So look at When Saturday Comes. When Saturday Comes, I think, is the most widely respected football magazine of that type. Mm-hmm. Every year they do a preview. They interview a fan of all clubs in the Football League and Premier League except them. If you go and try and find the season preview in When Saturday Comes, it says MK Dons, no questions asked. They never asked them because their opinion is they shouldn't exist. And I that's good enough for me. But I don't lose any sleep over it now. I did. It drove me nuts for a long time. It's all that jealousy thing of us sort of starting out playing in, you know, lowest level non-league football and they're in the Championship with a 30,000 stadium. It was a bit galling. But I said that one day changed my opinion completely. And I want to win on Tuesday, not because I want to beat them, because I want to get the second round of the cup and not hopefully draw West Ham again.
Absolutely. Now, moving on from this, because we have spoken far too much about it, the key thing here and the important thing is that after two defeats, this is almost the perfect fixture for AFC Wimbledon to kick start their season. Hannah, we didn't fully go into your position on the Dons Trust board, right? Do you want to just explain a bit about that to those listening?
That I'm on the Dons Trust board.
Well, that's pretty much done it, yeah.
I mean, describe your position. What's
so there are 10 of us. We get elected on, and I think everybody listening to this knows what happens. We've actually got an election. You know, there's an election every year. I got on last year, and I'm there for another year and a bit, into may or may not stand again, and. I don't know what to say, really.
But do you have, I think, what people like to know, I guess maybe they don't know, is do you have specific roles within the Dons Trust board? Because obviously you're a communications executive as a day job. Is that, so people would probably think, well, you know you do comms. If you look at your Twitter, you know you're a comms person. Are you in charge of the comms for the Dons Trust board? And of course, you're also involved in the sustainability group.
We have monthly meetings. We are basically there to kind of check on balance and of what's going on in the football club. And to a certain extent, that's a level of responsibility that's just, you know, regardless of what kind of responsibilities you have as like, oh, I'll own this, I'll own comms, I'll own blah, blah, blah. At the moment, I'm working on comms from a more of a perspective of improving the website, the Dons Trust website, the membership process. I'm working with the membership group on that and the sign up to the Dons Trust. Sustainability. I'm trying to think of something else. I feel like I'm doing a lot all the time, but when I actually articulate it, probably not.
Well, no, I think what's important is anyone think, I would not want to put anybody off standing for the Dons Trust board, but I think anyone standing and wanting to get a place on the Dons Trust board, do not underestimate how much work is involved. I think, I'm not saying you didn't, obviously you knew that, but you worked with the Dons Trust board before. Maybe some people think, oh, I'd be good, I'll be on the Dons Trust board, I'll get some tickets for games, I'll do this. It's virtually a full-time job, isn't it? It's like a second full-time job.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my own email account of the Dons Trust email account, and that's quite intense to keep up with all of the stuff that's going on there. So for today with the Cedars news, for example, the club have done a great job of getting that out there, but we want to make sure that is respond to the sort of understandable concern that there has been from members.
The Cedars news indeed, and we will get onto that next. And we'll also discuss the Accrington game. I just want to let Gary Jordan know, and I want to let Mark Hendricks know, that I did put that disclaimer out there because I wanted to not say anything that was offensive. I know that we did talk about the game in the Carabao Cup a fair bit there, but I just felt that we needed to get it out of the way. We are going to talk about Wimbledon. We're not going to talk about the franchise anymore. And I understand, Gary Jordan, they are not the R word. Right, plenty more coming up.
This is Love Sport.
Yep, this is Love Sport. We've got about 6 minutes left of the AFC Wimbledon fan show on Love Sport Radio. Me and Matt Peter with the guys from the 9 Years podcast, Kevin Boris and Hannah Kitcher. Hannah, you alluded to some news that's obviously come out about Cedars, the crowdfunding scheme, have suspended trading due to an internal cash flow issue. What's happened there and what are going to be the repercussions of this?
There are no repercussions. essentially, it caused some consternation amongst everybody who's been investing. Understandably, they announced, I'm not a financial expert and I probably can't explain this very well, but essentially it's to do with their own company, Cedars as the company, not to do with our investment into Wimbledon. All of the money that's already gone in is in our own bank account, essentially.
Yeah.
And so that's safe, that's ring fence. And also, but that's not to say that Cedars is in any trouble. They're just, you know, they're getting investment from themselves.
So, yeah, it says they're in advanced stages in a fundraising discussion.
I think it's quite ironic, isn't it, that we've started a crowdfunding exercise through a company that needs its own crowdfunding exercise.
Does it need it, though?
I think it's to do with them expanding.
So it's not like it's in crisis. It's not in crisis.
It reminds me of when my youngest son had some behavioural issues and we got him a dog to help him and the dog had a personality disorder. You just think, oh, come on, how have we managed to get a dog with a mental illness?
Don't compare the crowdfunding.
It's reminding me of, like, oh, come on. It's one of those, oh, come on moments. You think Cedars needs a crowdfunding.
It doesn't
exercise.
Need it. That's what I'm saying. No, it doesn't need it.
No. I misread it, but... In Jim Bowen bullseye style, our money is safe. Okay? That's safe. You know, look, so basically, we've kept the boat. We've got the speedboat, although we live in Burnley.
Speaking of, here's what you could have won. What could you win next weekend? Accrington Stanley is the game. Yeah. There we go. No. Accrington Stanley is the game. They obviously didn't play this weekend because Bury are in dire straits as well. Worth mentioning Bolton as well. A 0-0 draw with Coventry. Three.
With children.
That's so,
three disallowed goals.
I feel for Coventry.
I think this is... you feel for Coventry?
Yeah. Like, they should have got 3 points out of that. And they didn't. That's embarrassing. They're in trouble.
Yeah.
I think the Football League community are more inclined to feel for Bolton.
Obviously, I feel for Bolton. Like,
but you had a good
you've
point.
You've got to feel a bit bad for
No, you have. Can you, Hannah, had a really interesting story about Accrington and Bury yesterday?
Yeah, somebody in a WhatsApp chat group that I'm in has mentioned, Maria Butler has mentioned that she loves the fact that Accrington arranged a friendly between their fans and Bury fans. And that they opened the bar and all proceeds went to help Bury, which is a nice story.
Brilliant. That's what you want to hear,
family.
Isn't it?
Football family.
Andy Holt, chairman of Accrington. Love him. Think he's fantastic. I would actually go back on Twitter just to follow him. I could follow you, Hannah, of course. I'd follow two people, Hannah and Andy Holt.
An incredible stat as well from the Bolton game was that kit numbers of the Bolton side added up to 598, which was a stat that came out, which is just incredible. Average age of around 19. So obviously they're all clubbing together, and the fact that Phil Parkinson came out and said, look, just leave us. Let us be Bolton Wanderers. But guys, we were talking about Accrington Stanley.
I think
they obviously didn't play.
I'm going to win.
So you think you're going to win?
I think there's enough build-up. I said half an hour of good play and a good possession in the first game, 45 minutes yesterday. If we can turn it into an hour for Saturday, I think we'll have enough to beat them.
Like Wally said, you know, first half in the first game, great.
Yeah.
No, second half.
Second
in the first
half.
Game.
First half.
First half on the
both
second
halves
game.
Nice.
Now it's going to be both halves.
Yeah, I think that'll be. I think we can win that.
Yeah.
I think Tuesday's game, of course, no replay, goes extra time and pens, isn't it?
straight to it this time. Yeah, no rebus, no two legs.
Oh, are you talking about? Sorry, I thought we were talking about.
I was. I've kind of doubled.
You have.
Back
you've gone back, which is going to get me in trouble. So we're going to go back to Accrington Stanley.
Accrington Stanley. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win that 2-1.
Yeah.
Well, it's an important here, right? Because regardless of what happens in the week, you've lost your opening two games.
Yeah.
After this game with Accrington, you go away to Ipswich. You go away to Sunderland.
Yeah.
Then you host Wickham. I mean, and then obviously you've got the EFL Trophy, which they discussed, and then you've got MK Dons again. So
away.
Some big fixtures coming up. Yeah. So this is quite an important game now.
Yeah. This is a good chance. This is our good chance to win a game between now and the 31st of August when we play Wickham. It's a tough start. We always look forward to getting the fixtures. We saw the fixtures on the day they came out and thought, oh no, that's horrible. You're going to play everybody at some point. It just seemed like that was a really difficult start and it's proven to be the case. I think we are going to win though. I'm confident we're going to win.
Good. And Hannah, confident? A score prediction, if you will?
I would agree. 2-1.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Happy with that. Good ending. Nice.
Well, that's a positive end. A slightly, you know, we didn't want to say a pessimistic beginning, a difficult middle section of this week's show, I'm not going to lie to you, and a lovely end. We're going to win at Accrington Stanley next week. Kevin Borras, it has been nothing but a pleasure.
Well, thank
Hannah
you,
Kitcher, also nothing but a pleasure. Thoroughly
Thanks.
Enjoyed your company this week, guys. Big games coming up in the week, MK Dons and then Accrington Stanley. We'll see you next Sunday at 8 p.m. on Love Sport Radio. It's the Wimbledon Fan Show.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.